Good evening. Good to be here tonight. Good to see all of you tonight. I thank all of you for the hospitality that Brother Leroy and I have enjoyed this week. And I thank you for it. And I appreciate Brown Street. I've known most of you. A lot of you wasn't even here, and a lot of you wasn't even born when I was coming here. And I thank you, though. And I appreciate the strong stand. I appreciate the fact, we talked about it a little bit today, that you all, way back many years ago, I think about when I see all of the conservative churches that they wouldn't be here if you all hadn't made provision for the preachers to go here and there. You had two preachers and one would be somewhere all the time. And for the papers, the thing that you published. And the encouragement that we all received. I want to thank you for it. Brother, I preached conservative doctrine for a long time. But you all know who taught me first? Right here. That's right. And I regret now, since my eyes is not like they were back many years ago, that I can't attend services here in meetings. Brother Leroy has been great. He's been helping me. He's a member of the Lord's church. And he didn't grow up in the church like a lot of us, but he sure has been faithful. And the good work that he's doing, I appreciate. And the church is benefiting from it. And I thank all of you. And I thank God that he have given us the health and the strength and the will to be here tonight. And we ask him to bless our services. And I just hope and pray, brother, in these little things that we say, that it would edify you and build you up. And just hope and pray that if there be those in the assembly. Brethren, we are here. Not because we wanted somewhere to just go. But we are here because we know that there's an appointed time. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and after death is the judgment. Brethren, and let me tell you something. That's why we are here. Because when we stand before God, we're going to be judged. And we're going to be judged by the things we've done in this life. You ain't got but one time to do it. One time. One time. Brethren, and it's definitely hard. I'm going to tell you something. It is hard to stand over a person when you give in the eulogy. When you stand over a fella and you got to talk about him. I had somebody ask me one time, Brother James, what can you say when you're trying to say something? Folks, the family want you to say something over somebody that has passed. That was not a Christian. Never done anything. God gave you a commandment. I said, well, all you can say is that maybe if he was a good husband, a good father, or something. I said, but it's hard. And brother, and I thank you all for having me. I'm enjoying myself this week. Had a big meal. And I know I'm gaining weight. And I wouldn't be surprised if Brother Wright don't gain a few pounds. But I thank all of you for being here. And I want you to know I appreciate you and I enjoy seeing you. And I enjoy everything that you've done for me over the years and still doing. And I thank you. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. How to build up the kingdom. Brethren, there's a lot of institutions in the world. But there's none like the kingdom. The only institution in this world, the only organization, the only institution that we have is the church that was built by Jesus Christ. It is the kingdom. It is the kingdom. Somebody asked me one time, Brother James, when Christ lived, was the Old Testament in force? I said, yes. But all of Christ's teaching was about the kingdom. Jesus said one time in Mark, some of you stand here shall not die until you see the kingdom come with power. It come on Pentecost, Acts 2. That's when the power comes. Christ told them before he, when he left Bethany, to go back to heaven. He talked to his apostles. They went out with him. And he told them, he says, I told you all about this day. Look at Luke 24 sometime. That it was necessary that the Father that I die and rise on the third day. And then, fulfill all prophecy. And Christ went back to heaven. And on Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit come, it's the first time the gospel was preached. About 3,000, Acts 2, obeyed the gospel. Verse 41 said they gladly received it. Verse 47 said, the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. Brethren, that's the first time that the church was spoken of in the present tense. That's the first time. Folks were being added to the church. But now, we're all members. I'll talk about that some more later on. But building up the body of Christ, so we become members of the church. We are added to the church. I told you last night what we do to be saved. Then there's some things that we have to do to keep saved. That's right. There's some things that you have to do to keep saved. See, a Christian has work to do. Philippians chapter 2 and about verse 12, part of that scripture says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. But Jesus gave a parable one time. The first thing I want to talk about is Christ gave a parable in Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, Christ says, go into my vineyard and work. Christ gave that in the kingdom. Now the kingdom and the church is the same institution. Sometimes it's referred to as the body. Sometimes it's referred to as the kingdom. Sometimes it's referred to as the church. And at other times it's referred to as the household of God. So now let me talk about this just a little bit. The kingdom. Christ said, go into my kingdom. This parable here that is given us is telling us that Christ had told them that he went out in the kingdom. And they say he went out, I'm paraphrasing, in order to save a little time. Now, he says he went out at different times. And when he went out at different times, brothers and sisters, he hired people. He agreed with them for a certain amount. He agreed with them. Now, that's one thing Sister Hazel was hard on. A little harder than me. She always called me Dad. She said, Dad, don't have nobody do nothing until you have an understanding how much you're going to pay. But Jesus has an understanding. He agreed with them for a certain amount. He went out at different times. And folks would be standing out there waiting to be hired. They'd be standing out there. Now, I'll tell y'all, when I lived in Memphis for that short period of time, and worked a little bit, when you hire into some of the plants, like some of the plants that they had there, you know how they done the hiring, Brother Wright? The folks would be lined up, standing. And a man would come outside there and look, and he'd pick out, come on with you, come on, and hire and bring them in. Well, the folks was doing that in Jesus' time. They would be standing out. Nobody had hired him. And all of you heard about the 11th hour man. He went back out. The farmer went back out. And he asked him. Found some folks standing on the 11th hour. And asked him, why were you standing? They said they'd been there all day and nobody has come out and hired him. Jesus said, go into my vineyard and work, when you're done, I'll do what's right. I'm paraphrasing. Brother Ellis Welb come from Columbus one time, and he was preaching a meeting for us. And a man he baptized on Sunday, started our meeting on Monday, was buried on Tuesday. And we had a brother by the name of Brother Joe Sam. Brother Webb told him, I'm going to have you to drive me some. And I said, Brother Webb, what you going to do? He said, I'm going, Brother James, and preach a funeral. And he said, the man, the name of the funeral is the 11th hour man. And when Brother Webb, I said, he says, yeah, he just obeyed the God. I baptized him Sunday. He got ran over in Columbus by an automobile. But the Bible says, when you read that story, brother, that Jesus started at the last and went to the first, and it paid them all the same. And guess what? Some complain. Said, we have dealt with the heat and worked all day. And these folks here only work 1 hour. And you paying them just as much as you paying us. Jesus said, I done you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for what I paid you? So I did you no wrong. What is mine, I can do what I want with it. So now, the reason I told you about that story is, the church is the kingdom. The church is the kingdom. And when you become a member of the Lord's church, you're in the kingdom. And there are work that God gave you to do. Remember when God gave out the talents, 1, 2, and 5? That's work, brethren. There's something in the kingdom that everybody can do. Something that you can do in the kingdom. Jesus said, go into my kingdom and work. You know, we talked about the other day, last Sunday in Bible study, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needest not to be ashamed. Rightly divide the word of truth. It's work. It is work. And brethren, there is no institution in the world greater than the Lord's church. I tell people in Mansfield, I say, you ought to walk with your head high. Because when you become a member of the church, you receive dual citizenship. The Bible says your citizenship is in heaven. You don't need a human priest anymore. The Bible tells us that we
are priests.
Romans 12 says, tells us that we are to make sacrifice to Him, which is our reasonable service. So, brethren, there's no institution in the world like the church. That's one way that we can build it up, is work it up. And 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, Paul says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain. Whatever you're doing for the Lord, brethren, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know. Now let me mention a few works that we need to think about. It's teaching the gospel. Teaching the gospel. Teaching the gospel. In Acts 8 and verse 4, the Bible says, everywhere they went, they preached God's word. The greatest evangelistic movement the world has ever seen is in Acts 8. None like it. They were running out of Jerusalem. They were scattered. They was trying to destroy, trying to waste the church. But you know something, brethren? That was the greatest movement that the world I've ever seen. The Bible said when they left home, they maybe had to leave a lot of physical things. And I know what that's like, because I lost a whole bunch of stuff in the fire. But it's one thing that they didn't leave, is the gospel and their faith. Everywhere they went, they preached the gospel. And you know something? They weren't holding gospel meetings like I'm doing this week for you all. Everybody was teaching, neighbors, friends, and all of that. Now, I can go back a few years and remember some of the old preachers. And I remember what they would do. I can remember when a meeting would last sometimes 2-3 weeks. But you know what would happen? Folks would tell their neighbors and their friends, and they would be at service. That's right. And I've seen as many as 15, 20, 25 people obey the gospel in one night. Why did they learn it? Their neighbors brought them there. You might not be able to teach them all they want to know, but you know what? You can aid them by bringing them to services, by teaching them. Now, my dad was great at trying to teach people. He did. I remember one time he was in a, folks used to have what they call, brother, you don't remember none of this, a hog killing in the fall of the year. That's why you get your smokehouse ham from, brothers. And whenever they have a big hog killing, folks come from far and near. And I can remember one time I was with Dad. I was his driver, about 16 years old. And Dad was in a big heated argument. A lot of Baptist folks was there. And they didn't believe in baptism. And Daddy called for me. He said, James, get that Bible. We was in the truck. We had a Bible in the truck. And he says, I want you to find that passage that says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you know where it's at? I said, yeah, Dad, I know where it's at. I come on. And the folks gathered around. He said, read it. I read it to him. Brother, I'm going to tell you, that's the way it was back then. Everybody taught somebody. You talk about everything else. Talk about the Bible, son. When I was telling you the other night in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14, when I was talking about that word, watch. Watch. Look at it in that passage. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14. What some of the things you ought to watch for is an opportunity to do good. Watch for an opportunity to preach the gospel. Sometime it'll come around. All you got to do is break into it and teach the gospel. That's all you got to do. Watch. That's work, brother. And go into that field and work. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. As much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Brother, that's one way. You can build up the church. The second way is, the second way to build it is Matthew 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Let your light shine. Brethren, the Bible tells us in Titus 2 that in verse 14 and 15, I think it is, that we are peculiar people. One of the translations, I noticed it maybe last night or this morning, it says you are a special people. Look at verses all the way from 1 through 14. You are a special people. What is it that makes you special? Look at it in your Bibles. You are a special people. Titus chapter 2. One translation, Luke says, you are a peculiar people. What does the word peculiar mean? You're different. And one translation says that you are a different people. What is it that makes us different? I'm going to call to your attention quickly. What is it that makes us different? We've been called out of the world into the greatest organization in the world, the kingdom. Colossians 1 verse 13. Called us out of darkness into light. Make us special. What is it that makes us special? Revelation 1 and verse 5 said we are a washed people. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Nobody else have done that but Christian. We are a special people. We're called by a special name. In the book of Acts, the Bible said they was called Christian first at Antioch. We are special in that we have privileges that nobody else have. I'll talk about that in a minute. We are special because we've been washed. We are children of God. The Bible says in Galatians 3:26-27, we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27 says, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put him on. That makes us special. You know that makes you special. And the Bible tells us, brethren, we're special. And that's one of the reasons we need to, the Bible says, you live, let your light so shine. You show it in the way you live. If you let your light shine, brother, you don't have to put no sign on your back. You just live right. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 2, he said the older men to live what? Godly lives. Why? We're special. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. That makes us special. There ain't nobody like you. You're special. And we're special to one another. In Galatians 6, the Bible says, do good unto all men, and especially, what is that? You're special to those of the household of faith. Brothers and sisters, if I come down the street and it's pouring down rain, and I got one seat in the car left, and the place is loaded up, but folks are all over the place wanting to get in out of the rain. But you know what? You all are special. Sister Janice be standing there getting wet. You know what? I would have to stop my automobile and say, Sister Janice, come on over here and get in. What made her special? She and my sister. That's what Galatians 6 is talking about. Do good unto all men, and especially those of the household of faith. Brethren, live it up. You are a special people. You are God's people. You are God's family. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, learn how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. Who at God's house houses? It houses God's family. You're special. There's more ways than I have named, but I ain't talking about that tonight all the way. But there's things that make you special. Build up the church. Another thing. Live it up. Pray it up. Pray. The Bible tells us, John 9 and verse 31, the blind man told him, your sinner cannot pray. He cannot pray. When Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, what is one of the words he used? Our Father who art in heaven. When did God become your Father? When you were born again. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. When the man come to them and asked, what must I do? He tell him? You got to be born again. And so that's the way it is. And a sinner cannot pray. But the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. He told those in James, if there's any sick, you do what? Call for the elders and pray. Now, pray it up. Pray it up. Did any of you ever read Acts chapter 12? When Peter was put in prison, and they placed him between some others. A prison back then wasn't like a prison today. They had him shackled, all of this and all that. And the Bible says in that context, they was going to bring him out in the morning and they were looking forth to killing him. If you read that context, you see he was to appear the next morning. But guess what happened? Guess what happened? In Acts chapter 12, the Bible says the angels, the church, prayed. The whole church got together and they prayed. Prayer was being offered for Peter. And when that prayer was being offered for Peter, the God of heaven heard it. And you know what he did? I'm just paraphrasing because you know what he did? He sent an angel to that prison. An angel come there and awakened Peter. Told him to get up. Shackles fell off his arms, fell off his legs and feet, and said, put your clothes on. Put your clothes on. Peter got up and got dressed, and an angel led him out to the street. And the Bible says that when they got to the door of the prison, the doors opened of their own accord. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? The doors open. Peter walked out. Peter went to the house where prayer was being made. And when Peter got there, the young lady, the Bible talked about her, the young lady come there and was so excited. They were praying for Peter's release. She was so excited. She went back and she told her, instead of opening the door and said, come on in, Peter. She went back and told them that Peter was out there and they didn't want to accept it. Some of them said, well, you seen Peter's ghost. But eventually they did open it. And the Bible says Peter told them what happened. Told them how that angel had come there. And I told somebody one time, they asked me about that. I says, well, if you go to heaven, and I want to tell you, brother, you're not going to be just sitting down all day. Angels have work. Angels have work. The Bible said God spoke in time past in different manners. A lot of time, angels carried the message. Matter of fact, when I talked about Tanias last night, it was an angel that God dispensed out there. And the Bible says that angel led Peter out. Peter went and told the people, but he went to another place after that. Prayer. Don't forget to pray. God wouldn't tell you that he was going to do some stuff for you. If prayer didn't work, if he didn't answer prayer, he wouldn't have told you to pray. Prayer. The Bible says, when Peter told him about it, that an angel had done that for him. Prayer. Pray. And one of the blessings that you have with being a Christian is that you can pray. You can't pray if you're not a Christian. God hears not sinners. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12 says, the eyes of the Lord are open right and his ears open unto their prayer. Brethren, God does not hear sinners. Ain't that bad? And there's no power in the world like prayer. Our government got a lot of strong weapons, but it got nothing compared to prayer. You can't pray. Because if you pray, you can't call God your Father if you hasn't been born into his family. The next thing, brother, in building up the church, you pray the church up. You ask God to bless it and bless you. You work it up, you live it up, and you pray it up. And you attend it up. Hebrews 10:25. The Bible says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner some is. Do what? Don't forsake the assembly. Brethren, you know in Acts 20 when Thomas missed the assembly one time. And when they told him about it, they saw Jesus. And he says, except I can see the nail prints in his hand, thrust my hand to his side and see, I won't believe it. Jesus had appeared, but he wasn't there. Brother, any time you miss an assembly, you miss up. You miss up. The first thing you do, you violate the commandment of God. Jesus says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Hebrews 10:25. Don't you forsake that. Quite frankly, I had a lady that called me from another town. Some people that I know good, and a town, and a church that I know well. They lived out of town. And said, Brother James? I said, yeah. Says, we just come back off of a trip to Disney World. I says, oh, that's good. And says, tomorrow is Sunday. And everybody is telling me, telling her and her husband, everybody is telling us, you sick. You've been riding an airplane. You're seasick. You've been having all that kind of trouble and stuff. And she says, stay home tomorrow and go somewhere and get you a good dinner and rest up. She said, but you know what I told her? I said, what? That if I can go to Florida at that trip, I can do all of that, and you telling me to go out to eat, I can go to church. Brother, I've known folk can sit on beaches and sit there for hour after hour, Brother Fred. But when they come church time, they can't go there for one, for the little time that we have. Attend it up. Brethren, don't take for example, don't take it for that. Folks don't notice stuff like that. Folks know whether you live and set an example. Paul told Timothy, be an example. Let folks see Christ in you. Attend the church up. Attend it up. And just remember what I said tonight. You want to build up the church? Work it up. Live it up. Attend it up. Pray it up. And give it up. Give it up. Give it up. What I mean, brethren, the Bible said, lay by in store as God has prospered you. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and it said, God is able to make all grace abide towards you. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. God trusts you and I. It's not a 10% thing anymore, like it was in the old Bible. God said, give as you are prosperous. For God loves a cheerful giver. Give not of necessities, for God loves a cheerful giver. Lay by in store. Because, brethren, the church has got work to do. And when we give as we prosper, remember that God is with you when you earn that money. When you get your paycheck Friday, just remember one thing. You made it and somebody else helped you. Who was that somebody? God. You don't make it by yourself. And I like that passage, and I preach on it sometimes. God says, God is able. Now listen at this, 2 Corinthians 9, to make all grace abound towards you. Now, brothers and sisters, God was able to take a man that was born blind and give him sight just like that. One time in doing a miracle, God met a funeral, was in process on the way to the cemetery. Jesus stopped it. Raised it from the dead. And she helped take the casket on back with her. God got power. When Joshua was fighting, God stopped the sun for one day. They give him some more fighting time. Brethren, God was able when Moses sent Moses down there for Moses to lead the children of Israel out. God was able to divide the sea. The water gill on each side. He was able to lead them through a multitude of people. And the Bible says that those that trail the Egyptian people that was at Moses had changed their mind about letting the children of Israel go. The Bible said God caused their wheels and buggies and things to run off. Slowed them up. Now what I'm trying to tell you, brethren, God can slow you down. They was trailing. They was trying to overtake them. And the next morning when he brought the water back together, he saw them all floating on top of the water. Paul called it baptism in 1 Corinthians 10. But listen at this now. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. I heard my uncle tell one time at 615 South Parkway in Memphis, Tennessee. He says a brother had a $20 bill. And he says, I ain't going to church today. Because if I go today, they're going to expect me to give something. I'm going to call off. But I'm going fishing. Marcus says he went on out to the Mississippi River. It runs right through Memphis. Went to a place where it's famous for his fishing, people going fishing. But guess what happened to him? He come back home. He looked in his pocket. And it was empty. His wife told him. He says, I didn't go to church. I didn't give no collection. I didn't go to church because I wasn't going to get rid of that $20 bill. And said, but you know what? Says, I don't know what happened. I lost it while I was fishing. She said, you should have went on to church and you wouldn't have lost your $20 bill. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you this. Give it up. Give it up. And give it up. And one more point that I'm going to give you. Just remember, in order to do all of these things that I've talked about, can't nobody do that but you. God left that up to you. John chapter 11 and verse 39. When Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Remember what I said about God is able? Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. He stayed purposely where he was at, giving him a chance to die. He had a reason for it. All of you know the story. And Lazarus come back when he come into the come back to Nazareth. And he talked to Lazarus' sister. Lazarus' sisters come out. And that's the shortest verse in the Bible, John chapter 11, verse 35, I think. They said Jesus wept. She come out and she kind of had she was a little bit upset. And she said to Jesus, had you been here, my brother would not have died. The Jews told her that. The Jews even told her. If this man had opened the eyes of the blind, had been here, couldn't he prevented this man from dying? And Jesus was groaning in his spirit. Oh, how she was talking. They just showed the lack of understanding. That they knew who Jesus was. Jesus just went there. But Jesus went on and asked her, where have you laid him? They told him. When they went to the cemetery, when they got there, she told Jesus, Lord, he stinketh now. And Jesus told her to roll the stone away. And she reminded Jesus that he was stinking now. And Jesus looked at her. Said, didn't I tell you that you would see the glory of God? Didn't I? Why don't you do what I tell you? I'm paraphrasing, if you please. And you know what she done? She rolled that stone away. They rolled it away. And Jesus went into there. And the Bible said Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And you know some brethren and sisters, had he not called his name, he'd have emptied the cemetery. But he called his name Lazarus. And Lazarus sat up. Now I'm going to tell y'all why I told you this. God told his sisters, take the grave clothes off of him and turn him loose and let him go. They did it. Jesus walked out of there. Lazarus walked out of there. They taken the clothes down and throw them. Well, Brother James, why tell us about that? You're talking about building up the church. I'm telling you that. Because there's something that you're going to have to do yourself. What could God do? God could have. The same power that raised Lazarus could have easily rolled that stone away. It wasn't no big job. Could have easily took them grave clothes off of him. But it didn't. God will always ask you, ask me, to do what we can. And he'll do what we cannot do. God did that. God sent to this earth. He died on Calvary. He shed his precious blood. Peter talks about it all the time. He done all of that. He washed us in his blood. He cleansed us up. He forgave us his sin. He made us children of God and John heirs with Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:16, God reconciled us in the kingdom, in the church. That's why it's that. You were here because you were saved. Your sins was washed away. And God added you, 247. But you have things that you got to do to go to heaven. For Lazarus and for you and I, Jesus done what we could not do. We could not do what Jesus done for us. But he give us something to do. The first thing we have to do is obey the gospel. And then after we obey the gospel, the Bible says we have to live right. Walk in the light as he is in the light, and you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will continue to cleanse us from our sin. We have to do all of that. But now, at the close of this service, if you have not been baptized, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, the Bible tells us what we have to do. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Have you been baptized? Everybody here been baptized? Is there anybody here that has not been baptized? Brethren, if you haven't been baptized, you know what? If you die right now, you cannot be saved. You will be condemned forevermore. And if you have, God give a plan. I call it plan two. Simon had that problem in Acts 8. The Bible said, repent and pray God, and behalf of every thought of your heart will be forgiven you. Look at Acts 8 and 22. Listen at this now. God gave a plan by which you might have done something. Don't have to be none big. You might have done something and that you need to ask the Lord to forgive you for. You know, I was teaching one time and I told some people, you know, folks not going to hell all because of big things. Not because of killing somebody, robbing a bank. No, they ain't gonna. You know what's gonna send most folks to hell? Little things. Things that they think God has forgotten. God ain't forgotten. God is not mocked. God is not forgotten. But if there's something in your life that you need to repent of, pray and ask God to forgive you, you can do that tonight. You can do that tonight and you can go home with the privilege of praying. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto his prayer. You can come up here tonight and you can go home a Christian. Let me ask you all another question. If you knew you had 5 minutes to live, how would you use it? Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith or not. Look at yourself. How would you use it? If those people I talked about last night, Lazarus and the rich man, if Lazarus had one more chance, how would he use it? If the rich young ruler had one more chance, how would he use it? Well, brethren, if you're not sure, the Bible said doubt is sin, Romans 14:23. If you're not sure how you use it, why don't you come up and make sure? Now, I want to tell y'all something. My mom died, she was 95. My dad died, he was almost that old. Can y'all believe that they come up one day? See my hand? And with these hands, I rebaptized. I said to my mother and my dad, I said, y'all, what's the matter? They said, we want to be sure. The Bible says, and Peter, make your calling and election sure. They said, we don't want to go around thinking and not sure about it. So we thought about it. So would you baptize me? I said, yeah. And I tell you tonight, if you're here, if you're not absolutely positively sure that if you pass away right now, that you would go any place other than heaven, I'm going to ask you to come down the aisle while we sing the invitation song. All you got to do is just ask the church, confess your sins, repent of it, confess it, and ask the church to pray with you and for you that your sins be forgiven. Come down while we have it.